Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What was the first thing you bought with that $538 before taxes paycheck for your NFL money? Or did you remember your first big purchase?
It was probably my rent in the apartment. So not to go like old school here. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a crap about like my first year in the NFL. But I lived in Providence and was actually a two-story apartment that they turned. It was an old office building, two-story office building. They turned into a two-story apartment. And this was kind of the apartment where, like, the windows could go up and down. There weren't locks. So, like, if somebody wanted to jump in a window in the middle of the night, like, they could probably do that. So if I locked myself out of the house, like, that's what I lived in my first year. But I didn't care. Like, I drove 30 minutes each day from Providence to Foxborough. And I was immersed in something that I enjoyed doing. So I was probably paying my rent. Outside of that, look, I'm pretty low profile. I mean, I'm not a big car guy. I'm not a big clothing guy. I'm not a big jewelry guy. I know that surprises, like, the entire city of Houston right now. But, so...
You're not going to wear the Player of the Week chain around the locker room at any point this season?
Don't ask me about that, Sean. I don't think that's a good question that you should ask me.
That is, hey, well, you know what? No, that is interesting. When you're screening the young guys that come into your organization, the guys that when they start off as, you know, interns or whatever, does it become pretty apparent pretty quickly that some guys are built for this life and some guys aren't? The guys that kind of just leap into working a 16-hour day and they're thriving off it versus the opposite?
For sure. Absolutely. The reality is everything in life is earned. So nothing is guaranteed. The only thing that we're guaranteed is an opportunity each day. So can we maximize our opportunities in that particular day? Some can sustain and endure and put themselves in a position to have a successful career. Quite honestly, there's some people that in the end, they're better off doing something else. It doesn't make them bad people. It just means they might not be suited for what we do. So I would say there's always a balance too. I mean, everybody works hard, but I think one of the things that I've learned over the course of my time, so obviously my life has evolved and changed here. You know, I've been fortunate to be in the NFL my 24th season now. My mindset and attitude from when I started that first year making $14K to where I am now relative to my commitment, you know, my family commitment, my wife, our three girls. So things change and modify. And in the end, you can't lose sight of the things that are important. But to your question, Seth, absolutely. You kind of get an idea after about, you know, a full season. All right. You know what? This person's pretty good. He's going to have an opportunity. Or, you know what? I'm not sure it's really going to work out. Or maybe it's not here. Maybe it's in a different situation. So it's always case by case. It's no different than a player. But I would say our process and mindset for how we identify players that we bring in the building on a player level, it's no different for a player, for a coach, for somebody in football operations. If you have the right mindset, you have a good work ethic, you're selfless, and you want to work in a team environment, our job is to teach you the things that you need, that give you the tools that you need in order to be successful, and then just evaluate it as you go.
Okay, first of all, we're going to need to do it completely separate. This might need to be a podcast. Nick Caserio, the poverty years, and early on in his career. I think
$14,000.
Yes.
The fact that he had an apartment.
There's probably labor
actually.
Laws out there. I'm probably going to get arrested, or it's like some well, organization going to get arrested for that. But that was 56 years ago. So we, well,
you were like five. You were about 5 years past the point at which they would have had you in a literal broom closet. Which they moved away from that because of HR purposes, I think, in the NFL. But yeah, like it was, yeah. The fact that you had your own apartment was kind of a big deal.
Up in New England, it's not even Providence, that's not cheap, man. I think, Nick, you underestimate how interested people would be in stuff like that. I am curious, because early on in your career, you kind of bounced back and forth between coaching and personnel stuff and scouting and whatnot. When you got to the NFL, when you got to the Patriots, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do? And is what you're doing now what you thought you would be doing?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I had no idea what a personnel and scouting department was until I went and interviewed for a scouting assistant position in New England. So I was fortunate to play for somebody near and dear to my heart, Joe Perella, my high school coach and college coach, who left a significant impact on my life. So I would say he was one of the reasons, he was really the main reason that I wanted to be in football. And I thought that I wanted to coach because I saw what he did for me and the impact that he had on our life, which I would say for a lot of us, our high school coach and college coach has a significant impact on our life. And our relationship was special. I love him dearly. You know, he passed away a number of years ago, but I would say what I wanted to do was probably start my career. I thought I was going to coach. So I left my job at Merrill Lynch there after 6 months to pursue a graduate assistant opportunity. I mean, everybody knows kind of the story, but sure. I went up to Saginaw Valley in the middle of nowhere, didn't know anybody because I just wanted to be in football. So working on a coaching side, and then the scouting assistant position was available in New England. That was Scott Pioli, Bill, their second year. And really, that position ended up being kind of a hybrid. There were scouting responsibilities. There were some coaching responsibilities. We had a quarterback coach pass away during training camp, so they had to redistribute some of the responsibilities on a coaching staff. So I did all the film breakdowns. So, and it really wasn't asking a lot of questions. It was essentially like, whatever you need to do, like, I'm here to help. And I would say that thought process and mindset has sort of stayed with me throughout the course of my career. So I would say my background and situation is probably unique because I've gone back and forth, but I think what it's enabled me to do, and we've talked about this on this show, is just give me an overall comprehensive understanding of the football operation from top to bottom, understanding the expectations and kind of looking at it from a coaching perspective, also understanding kind of the nuances and the dynamics of the team building perspective. So that's where I feel that I can be a good resource to, you know, our program and specifically to DR, and just be a good liaison. And in the end, I have a fiduciary responsibility to do right by as many people that are in the building. So I'm grateful for my experience. And I honestly kind of went in with an open mind, didn't really want to pigeonhole myself, which, again, I would just say, you know, not that I'm giving career advice, but I think sometimes like having more of a generalist approach as opposed to focusing more on one specific thing is the way to go. And then we kind of work ourselves into a position where you kind of settle into whatever your long-term endeavor or future is. It's kind of like kids, right? When they go down the road, they specialize in one sport so much. Like, be a generalist, try to participate as much as you want, find your own niche. You know, I'm fortunate and grateful for, you know, the way it's worked out in my situation.
Yeah.
I was just trying to. I was brainstorming in my mind the sabbatical. You should make people take sabbaticals, Nick. Like go work in medicine for a year or something.
That'll
come
go
back.
Well in the NFL.
Yeah,
they can go work for you guys.
I've always felt like defensive linemen should take a mandatory year off at the age of 30, or maybe 31 or so. Get your body right and then come back and be a platoon player. Live the sweet spot for a defensive lineman is that guy that
load
comes
management.
In.
Load management. It's all about load management.
Yeah. That's it, man.
15 snaps of pass rush.
Not a bad idea. Yep. That's not a bad idea.
Nick, when we talk about, kind of talking about different schemes and systems and the way people operate, it actually made me think of the way a lot of Kyle Shanahan's former coaches who have gone on to be coordinators or head coaches elsewhere, when they talk about installing the offense, I like it because it almost sounds like there's a syllabus, you know, of like, okay, these are the skills that we need to have, and then we're going to progress on to this, both in the passing game and the run game. And I like that they kind of have a blueprint for how to install things and how it should look. With the run game, are there things you can point to where, okay, it's obviously not a finished product yet, but like we're doing certain things better now than we were before?
You're saying specifically in our situation?
Yeah, with the Texans, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, any time that you put in a system, you have a foundation that you're going to put in place. Okay, here are the things that are important. Here are things that we're going to emphasize. I would say offensive football, like in general, I mean, everybody says it's a system, but what it ends up becoming is kind of hybrid of a lot of different things. I mean, everybody's watching everybody else. Everybody's looking for some ideas. You have some things that are core and specific to your particular team. So we have certain schemes that we utilize that are important that we've had success. I mean, is every run going to turn into a 50-yard touchdown run? No. So you kind of need a little bit of a mixture. I think, you know, we're looking for certain things. The offensive line, here are the things that are going to be important. With the backs, here are the things that are going to be important. So everything is always a work in progress. So I would say just as a team overall, like we've had our moments and done a lot of good things. And the areas that, you know, we're trying to get cleaned up or get fixed. Look, the defense does a good job on the other side of the ball. So sometimes you got to tip their hat. They got the right call. They tee up a pressure into a particular look. And maybe you weren't anticipating. So that's the cat and mouse game going back and forth of offensive and defensive football, play calling, and trying to match up plays relative to the scheme. So feel good about the scheme. Bobby and the staff do a really good job on a week-to-week basis of trying to identify the things that are important. And here are the things that are going to be, you know, that we're going to need to do in order to be successful. I'd say like the Green Bay front is different than the New England front is different, which is different than the Jacksonville front, which you're going to see a lot of variability during the course of the week. So, but you always start with kind of, okay, these core principles, and maybe there's a tweak that you can make during the course of the week, or maybe you add a run that maybe isn't quote unquote part of the system, but it ends up being a good fit for the team that you're playing. So that's the calculus that you have to go through on a week-to-week basis, and we'll continue to do that and just try to put the players in the most advantageous position possible where we can have success.
Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, before we cut you loose, Green Bay game coming up on Sunday. You touched on a little of it before, and you mentioned Saginaw Valley State. You actually crossed paths with Matt LaFleur. He was a player there when you were a grad assistant there, right?
You did your research, absolutely. So, or you listened to the John and Mark show yesterday.
I watched the YouTube. Yeah, I watched the YouTube last night. I watched the YouTube.
But yeah, no, my second year at Saginaw Valley, Matt was the quarterback. We had a good team that year. We went 9-2 or whatever. I can't remember exactly, but yeah. Played Bloomsburg in the playoffs. They beat us, but you know, Matt was a good player. It's no surprise that, you know, he's had the career that he's had. When you look at kind of the arc of his career, he started as a grad assistant at Saginaw Valley, Northern Michigan, kind of started on a lower level, got an opportunity in the league. I want to say his opportunity in the league might have been here in Houston in 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Matt's a really good coach. I have a lot of respect for Matt. So, yeah, it's a fun anecdote that we can share. I've known Matt, you know, a long time, and he was a good player. He was a good quarterback, and he gets his team and his quarterback to play well, so it's certainly no surprise.
So a question from a listener that sent me this last night. And I've always been curious about this. What are the rules, or like what's standard operating procedure for when a coach gets fired, say mid-season, and then he's out there and he's unemployed, a head coach, and maybe he's got relationships with some other coaches in the league who are going to go play that team that the coach was just fired from. Like, is Robert Saleh allowed to talk to D'Amico and or come on as a consultant? What's the deal like with in-season stuff after that?
Last time I checked, we live in America, so you know, people
damn
can
right.
do what they what
damn
they
right,
choose
Caserio.
To do.
That's right. They're going to try to keep us from talking to Saleh before the Jets game.
Everybody has relationships in the league. So,
oh hell yeah!
Robert's a really good coach. Robert did a really good job with the program. You know, he's very well thought of in the league. So a lot of respect for him and what he did for the Jets, and you know what he did here, you know, for the Texans organization as well. So what conversations take place, like those are up to the people involved. So I'm not going to get fined.
Oh, that's
for
right. Well, yeah, Hugh Jackson ended up. Yeah, Hugh Jackson ended up on the Bengals sideline in a game versus the Browns the year he was fired. So yeah, anything goes.
I don't think we're going to see anything like that. You don't have to worry about that. So
there you,
get
you
back
go.
To, you can get back.
Are
to
you
your,
winking? Are you winking?
Nick, I'll ask you a much more benign question. A listener wants to know who your favorite all-time wrestler is on the text page.
Oh man, gosh. I would say it's probably between Rock and Stone Cold. Okay. I'd have to go with that.
Okay.
So, and I'd say modern day, I mean, definitely love CM Punk. And I know not too many people talk about him, but I get a kick out of L.A. Knight. Yeah.
You love L.A. Knight. Yeah.
I love L.A. I really love his shtick. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Knight with a K?
K, yeah, yeah. You'd like him, Seth.
Yeah.
You'd like him. You'd like the cut of his jib, I think, Seth, for sure. He looks a little like Seth, actually.
Some of those early
Seth's
attitude
a little bit
guys,
more ripped than him. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, we're going to go back to the attitude era? So.
No, I got to tell you, some of the stuff those guys were doing when I'm watching this, I get a little uncomfortable with it. I was just like, this is just overtly, the thing I liked about Stone Cold is I'm learning about WWE. Stone Cold and The Rock, like, they were much more just, they felt authentic, even though they're playing characters. There wasn't, like, a whole huge backstory and everything. It was just more like, this is this guy, and this is what he does and how he acts.
Yes.
I like
and they
that.
could go away for 20 years, and they can show up, and the way that they resonate with the fans, like, speaks to the impact that they have. So, some of the stuff they did back in the day, I mean, Mick Foley jumping off the steel cage 4,000 feet to the ground, to the table. I mean, holy cow. So, I mean, I know everybody, you know, it's fake, it's not real, but if you jam into a table traveling 20 miles an hour, my guess is it's probably going to have some impact on your body.
Yes.
So, but,
analytics.
Yeah. I mean, we could do another show, but I'm sure everybody's heard enough of me for one day, so
Nick,
we'll probably have to wrap here.
Nick, listen, before you tell us whether or not J.J. Watt is coming back, and I get the sense just from...
You can have Watt on the show and ask him yourself.
Yeah, J.J.
He looks good in that suit in studio, so he probably doesn't
want to. Yeah, he looks pretty comfy.
He looks comfy, yeah.
He had tweeted out the other day that he's very happy with where he is in life. And I like, honestly, when you watch a game week in and week out, you're like, how the hell? No, this is stupid. This is so much punishment.
Yeah.
And yeah, those wrestlers are the same. They're jumping 30 feet
crazy.
Onto a table and then rolling in the next day.
Hey, Nick, I said we were going to let you go, but real quick, have you had a chance to watch Coach Belichick on any of the content that he's done so far, and what do you think?
Bits and pieces, like, haven't really seen much. My suspicion is it's very insightful and it's very good, and he brings a very unique perspective. So, again, without having, like, seen everything in depth and in detail, that would be my guess as to how it's going.
You guessed correct. He's doing very well. Yeah,
it's really cool because he comes off like a professor almost. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You feel like you're getting an education.
It's funny you say that, because in the end, coaching is teaching, and when you look at some of the best coaches, they're the best teachers. So I would say Bill was as good of a teacher as I've ever been around. I would say Coach Reed was literally a teacher. And, like, in the end, coaching is teaching, and you just have to figure out how to communicate your message to the overall group. So he is very professorial, if that's even a word, but that would be an astute observation on your part, Seth.
It wasn't a word. It is now. I'm using that. Professorial. I like that a lot. Hey, Nick, we really appreciate how generous you are with your time. Go get him in Green Bay this weekend, and we will talk down the road, I'm sure. Thanks for coming on with us, man.
Appreciate you, fellas. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Good stuff. Nick Caserio. I enjoyed that.
There's one genuine compliment and seven sarcastic compliments he gave me during the
That's
interview.
Pretty good.
That's good. Pretty good ratio.
That's a good ratio, yeah. I think it's a fact that you're into the McMahon documentary now. I think, you know, there's a connection.
Is that what it is? We had a breakthrough. Well, that's why I told you, the guys in the front office and the head coach in Green Bay, all they had to do was try to get on Rodgers' level a little bit, go do an ayahuasca trip with him. Like,
that's
understand.
It.
First, seek to understand, you know?
Yep.
Get on the same wavelength as him, and it probably would have been just fine.
All right.
So, my version of doing an ayahuasca trip for you two is to just go immerse myself in pro wrestling.
The three of us?
I just can't. Yeah. Shawn Michaels makes me me very uncomfortable. I'm kind of like, what am I watching here, dude? Like, I
the attitude era, Shawn Michaels. I wish I was watching this with you.
What a weird era.
The attitude era? Yeah.
Hey, we're going to capitalize on all this young male anger by doing the most homoerotic stuff we could possibly do.
Pretty much.
And get him to, it was weird.
Yada, 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 they became a publicly held company. Yeah. All right, that was Nick Caserio. We'll dig into some of what Nick had to say. We got into a lot of stuff with him there about current team, Stephon Diggs, Will Anderson, Denico Autry coming back. We'll get into all of what Nick had to say as we roll on with the show. Big trades in the NFL over the last couple days as well. We'll break those down. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Coming up next, let's do that. As we circle back to some of the things Nick had to say, the importance of the trades that were made this week and how they impact the Houston Texans short-term and long-term. That's coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, we just finished up with Nick Caserio. Nick's getting a lot of react. People like the personal stories, man. I don't know why Nick diminishes those so much. As soon as he started talking about that apartment that he had, some converted warehouse or whatever it was, I'm like, man, I am in on this story. I need to know more about this.
The $538 biweekly.
I love that you did the math.
Before taxes.
I love that you did the math. If you missed it, Nick was talking about his, I forget how we got on the topic, but we did, and it was very interesting. He talked about his first job in the NFL. The Patriots paid him $14,000 a year. And Seth's follow-up was, what was your first purchase with your $538 check? biweekly check.
It sounds like he was living in, I didn't want to make the reference because I know Nick has barely seen any movies, but he's talking about living in some dive apartment in Providence, and immediately I'm thinking Dumb and Dumber, because that was same era too, you know? Same general time
frame. Late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, Nick and Lloyd Christmas living in a dive apartment in Providence.
Yep. Nick wants me, this is a text, Nick makes me want to quit my Kush corporate gig and go intern for him. Yeah, man.
It is, look, it's a common refrain with a lot of people that have been through that New England kind of factory is that, man, they took a pay cut. You know, Bill O'Brien, it's good job advice. Bill O'Brien took a huge pay cut to go to be basically a glorified grad assistant for a year at New England because he knew that was the best opportunity. And that is, 100%, man.
Huge respect.
Sometimes for just in choosing a job, a profession, a college to go to or whatever, if you're really passionate about something, there's only so much you can do to overcome your environment in any given situation. So always be really careful about when you have an opportunity to choose your environment, choose wisely, because that will shape you to an extreme degree. And I think there are, despite the fact that New England head coaches or guys that have gone on to be head coaches haven't had good success, there are a lot of people in the front office and elsewhere, and guys that got that opportunity to be a head coach, even though they weren't good ones just because they were at New England. It's amazing how much of a difference it makes.
Yeah.
The company you work for as an accountant, there's only so much you're going to do within any one specific company. You're going to be limited by certain things. Go to the one that just gives you the fewest limits and the most opportunity.
Yeah. And keep in mind, like Nick, Nick is not he's not an old guy. He's a young guy. He's not even 50 yet.
He's younger than me. Yeah.
He graduated college in the late 90s. He got to New England before it was New England, you know what I mean?
Like he got there in year two, which is, he got there right in time.
Yes.
You know, to where he can be a part of everything and watch the transition.
Yep. Someone said $14,000 in 2000 is almost $26,000 today. Yeah, they're really low-paying jobs still. Now, they may have bumped it up. The NFL has a different, you know, cost structure than the actual inflation in society. Maybe they've bumped up some of those entry-level jobs, or maybe they haven't because people just want to get their foot in the
stuff,
door.
That's, I think, with Belichick. Belichick was famous for just kind of testing people and sometimes making them take a pay cut to see how much they really wanted to be there. And those are the tactics that Belichick could get away with because he was Belichick, but that other non-Belichickians would attempt, and it blew up in their faces.
Yeah. Oh, I know what led us down that road. I had asked him. I was really thinking about this week. I forget who it was. Somebody retired or left, or there was an interview I saw with a player who said, yeah, I made my money. I made enough money. You know, my goal wasn't to win 3 Super Bowls. My goal was to make $30 million or whatever it was. And they got out when they made $30 million. And that's kind of the gist of the question I asked Nick was like, okay, these guys, Nick and D'Amico, are all about finding guys who love football, who truly love football. Yeah. But like sniffing that out, like, yeah, guys love football, but do you love it to the extent that you've made life-changing money, but you're still willing to risk your body on a day-to-day basis?
And it's really, the part of, you know, like with CJ, the thing that really sticks out, and you can tell it's not just Instagram hustle or anything like that, is that he's a football nerd. And, you know, he just genuinely loves and absorbs and watches the quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks, and is constantly learning. And that's hard to really figure out how real any of that is when you're looking at college kids, because they know to say the right things and they'll claim that they do this and do that. But that's where, for quarterbacks especially, you know, sometimes I worry that people put too much into the meetings that they have with players at the combine and whatnot. Because sometimes, man, some of your best football players are the worst interview guys because they're just wired. The things that make them a great football player make them horrible in interviews, particularly on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with quarterbacks, though, they can get real information and a real good feel for how much a guy really knows football and how much he can absorb and everything in those meetings. And I think that's where I wonder... I wonder how they felt about CJ. I wonder how teams, independent of the S2 score and everything, felt about CJ Stroud's football brain versus Bryce Young's football brain.
Like up on the whiteboard and just conversationally about it and stuff, and how he saw the game.
And yeah. I'm guessing they were impressed with both those guys, but I wonder on like the old school football scout, if you get rid of all the measurables and everything, how they really felt about that part of it.
I'll have to bring that up when we talk to Nick next time. What is it? Middle of October? Next we talk to him probably sometime. I would imagine before Thanksgiving. We usually get him about once every few weeks, once a month. I'll have to bring up what CJ said to me in that event I did with CJ, where he said he thought the Texans didn't like him, and just see what Nick's reaction is to that. Like, hey, did you know your quarterback told me back in March he didn't think you guys liked him when the second pick in the draft, when Bryce gets picked first. I asked CJ what he thought, and his first thought was, "I don't think the Texans liked me."
Is that just an offshoot of them playing everything really close to the vest?
It was, because he specifically brought up Nick playing things very close to the vest.
Yeah,
in that answer,
they don't let things leak.
They
don't. Then people just—that's when the little nugget hussies who need their little nuggets start wantonly speculating about the Texans. Oh, the Texans aren't drafting a quarterback. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Go die. Yeah. I'll tell you what, some of these sports writers, I got to ask Brandon Scott about this because he's an actual journalist. I feel like there's a lot of sports writers out there who think they're journalists, but they're actually already nugget hussies.
Yeah.
And but they think they're journalists. They don't even realize that they already belong to the streets. They're not. They're in it just to get. They'll just be a microphone or a megaphone for whatever the players want to say, as long as they give them some nuggets.
Yeah, I start to wonder nowadays, man, like what the definition of journalism even is anymore. You know, like
I had a conversation with one of the Buffalo writers who's an older guy, and he tries, like, he toes the line in terms of multiple sources and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's talking about how frustrating it is that you got all these guys out there that just run with, hear a rumor, throw it out there, and it's just it's different.
Yeah, I guess the definition of journalism hasn't changed. It's just how much are people adhering to journalism anymore. You know,
well, Schefter and Rapoport are not journalists anymore.
No,
right? That's like that. I know that distinction is there.
Yes,
they're getting fed information.
Yeah, they're insiders is what they are. Yeah, and so that's, and again, like that's what pays. You know, like those are the guys that are making the big money out there nowadays, and they used to be reporters. We'll get to the receiver trades in the next segment. We're getting some good texts as a follow-up to our conversation with Nick Caserio. We talked to him for about 45 minutes. If you missed it, you can get it on the podcast. Subscribe to the Payne and Pendergast podcast. It's doing very well, but we can always use many, many more. So if you haven't subscribed, please do. Good conversation with Nick today. A handful of people asking this. I know he doesn't watch TV, but any chance Nick has watched the Aaron Hernandez FX biopic series? Yeah. About zero chance. Zero chance he's watched of it, and I don't know that he will watch any of it.
I think I know just from our previous conversations with him, I know I don't think he really consumes anything of the stuff written about or done dramatically about the Patriots, because there's always going to be such gross inaccuracies and anything like that it's probably maddening to watch it.
Yeah.
So that one, if anything, if I were Nick Caserio watching that, I'd be offended at the level of athleticism of the actors.
Yes.
I'd be like, you think I would have drafted that guy?
Nick, I need your scouting report on that guy.
Oh, that guy? So no, not that guy.
It's funny, though. People are curious his opinion on the various actors and how close they... The Belichick guy is really good. I mean, it's over the top. Over the top. But it's pretty good.
It feels like an SNL skit in a lot of ways.
There you go.
Okay, they're not perfect impressions, but they're hitting the major stuff that's identifiable.
There you go.
What's the most common question that people are complaining we didn't ask? Usually we get at least a few. Like, I can't believe you didn't ask this.
No,
or that.
You know, we're not getting a lot of them that I can see. I mean, there were people asking us to ask things that we ended up like asking. Like, you know, people were like, "Hey, ask him about Christian Harris." You asked a really good question about Christian Harris.
You. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's pretty good. Yeah. Thanks. I don't even remember it, but cool. I remember his answer.
Yeah.
That didn't make me feel any better. And I'm glad he pointed out that it did look there. Remember, there was a point in training camp where Christian Harris was out of practice for all of like 37 seconds.
Yeah.
Where he was back on the field and then he got immediately. The one that I felt better about, even though Nick didn't give us a definitive answer, was that I do feel like with Nico, it was we're going to put him on IR because we don't want this to be a recurring issue, and we're going to let this hamstring. That's just me reading the tea leaves by Nick's answer. He didn't give a definitive answer, but no. I'm not overly concerned about Nico Collins coming back right now.
No, I'm not either, and I hadn't been, but you're right. His answer, I feel the same or better than I did before that. But no, we're not getting a ton of. Why didn't you guys ask this? Why? I'll tell you what. It's Seth.
They're
5-1. Yes, thank
Come
you.
Come on, everybody. Sean and I.
It's a direct correlation. But we couldn't. When we first started interviewing Nick back in 2021, when Deshaun was still on the team.
Yeah.
Boy, there were people so mad that we weren't getting Nick to dish about Deshaun Watson and all. Like, it was rough, man. But that was
There's
a bad
one thing. I didn't expect him to claim triumph or victory with Damian Pierce's promising performance the other day. He said, you asked him about Damian Pierce, and he said, I think his first word was well, it's a week by week thing. You know, we'll see. There are still some things that Damian did a couple things really well in terms of some of the zone runs, seeing the flow of the linebackers and making a quick decision and getting vertical. His touchdown run, the one that he had up the middle on the cutback lane for 10 yards. Mm-hmm. Those were the two instances. There were another couple instances where it looked a little bit clunky. So it's not like it was, it wasn't a perfect showing for Damian Pierce, but it was way, way more.
Yeah.
And he was breaking tackles in a way that I don't think we really saw much at all last year. So that part was really encouraging, but they got to keep building on that.
Did you happen to see somebody did a cut up of Damian's run in the game on Sunday and his run he had back in his rookie year against the Chargers where he ran 75 yards for a touchdown to the same side of the field? And they did a chop up of the first second and a half of the New England run with the first second and a half of the Charger run. And they kind of went back. The whole run's maybe 8 or 9 seconds, right? They chopped back and forth 4 or 5 times. It's incredible how identical the two plays look in the cutout.
So, really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, no, I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty wild.
I think in comparison to somebody asked me to do this for a video.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video during training camp where I kind of showed Damian Pierce's hesitancy on a play, on a zone run play to the right, where the blocking wasn't perfect, but there was a lane. It was just Damian was too late to take that lane. That touchdown run was exactly the same. Not exactly the same, but in a lot of regards, it was not perfectly blocked. There were 3 unblocked guys on that play. But because they'd gotten the linebackers running, and because Damian could see that the one linebacker had overrun the cutback lane, he just hit it, you know, and he said, run towards the smoke. That's exactly what happened. And a defensive tackle who was unblocked didn't get a good shot on him. The linebacker was out of position. And that's the decisiveness that we hadn't really seen out of Damian in the zone running game. So that was really exciting.
Good to see.
And for him to get the feel for it and to have a couple of successful runs where he made the decision quickly and it worked. Yeah, I think there's definitely something to build on there.
All right, 2 big wide receiver trades yesterday. How do these impact the Houston Texans? And how do these trades compare to what the Texans did bringing in Stephon Diggs? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
There's texters wondering if Nick threatened to replace us during the interview. They haven't gotten to hear the interview yet. We got to circle back. We got to circle back to old Double J, old Jerry Jones in the 9 o'clock hour, I think.
Jerry's in a weird spot right now, man. He's reeling.
Yeah.
No, I know. There, I tried my best to incite some kind of reaction out of Nick. I flat out demanded and commanded him to go out and trade for a defensive back because that's what the people want.
Yeah.
That's what the respondents to my questions have been. And he said that he would credit our listeners or my. He said he would credit my social media followers when they trade for a defensive back.
I pray that they trade for a defensive back. It would be so funny now.
I'll claim all credit.
Of course you will. You should.
I give the people what they want.
Yes. Yes. It makes you great. No, Nick didn't threaten to replace us during the interview.
Just reminded me of campaign promises and stuff or claiming credit. Just the presidential. I feel like Every day, every year, every new presidential election, I realize more and more how little I would ever make a good politician. I couldn't do this. It's the same way as like with war movies. When you're 18, when you're 16 years old and you're watching a war movie, you're like, I'm going to go sign up. I'm going to forge my mom's signature so I can join early. And then when you're 45, you're like, oh God, what the hell? Dear God, no.
Yep.
Likewise with.
Devontae Adams, he is a New York Jet, trade consummated yesterday, conditional third round pick. Seth, what do you think the chances are that this conditional third round pick gets converted into a second round pick? Here are the two conditions under which the third round pick that the Jets gave up for Devontae Adams can turn into a two for the Raiders. Either one of these, Devontae Adams makes first or second team all pro, or Devontae Adams is active for the AFC title game and or the Super Bowl.
Okay, it's too late for first or second team all pro.
He's missed too much time.
He's just not going to be a league leader in almost, I mean, unless he goes off on a freakishly weird run here, which so I'm not going to put money on that. You know, it'd have to be an historical run, but which is possible. And then the other is that they make the AFC championship.
He is active in either the AFC title game or the Super Bowl, one of the two.
Yeah, I would not bet money on that.
I think it's.
I wouldn't even bother on the futures bet for that, just because it's probably pretty long odds.
The odds on it haven't changed. The Jets are still. I don't have the exact odds in front of me, but I know that after this trade, same Super Bowl odds, same AFC title odds, and the Vegas still has them at 7.5 wins on the season. Right.
So what are the odds that they make the AFC title game?
I don't have the odds in front of me.
They're the same as they were before.
They're the same as they were. They haven't moved. Here's Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, excited to be back with his buddy Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams is a New York Jet. So from your standpoint, when did you find out about it? And how pumped are you to be back on the same team as Devontae Adams?
Yeah, obviously I'm really excited. Love Tay. He's a phenomenal player and a dear friend. It was a crappy day yesterday. Obviously, we had a real good chance to get to 3-3 and win a home game. Kind of gave that one away. I was pissed driving home through traffic. Had a couple messages. I was just not in the mood to talk to anybody. Got home and Tay had called me and texted me, so I finally called him back. And so about 12:30. 12:45 last night, I heard the news.
All right, I think Rodgers had done an okay job of kind of extricating himself from the Saleh situation, I thought.
Yeah,
you know, the fact that they still demoted Nathaniel Hackett and Rodgers was okay with it, I thought was a good... Now, to be clear, I think Rodgers had something to do with Saleh getting fired. Even if it was, as you pointed out, Seth, him just expressing an opinion to an owner without knowing that owner was going to then turn around and fire Robert Saleh. You know what
I mean?
Right,
right. Yeah, or even if it wasn't anything explicitly that Aaron Rodgers said, it feels like it was done on behalf of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, good way to put it.
Even if it didn't involve his direct involvement. It was Aaron Rodgers was somehow... I'd be surprised if he wasn't somehow fueling the decision there.
Is this a log on the fire of, Aaron's running things in New York for you? Or is this a trade where I'd be like, look, even if Aaron Rodgers didn't want this trade, this is a pretty good trade right now.
Right, this is the one that made the most sense. When he wrote that, when he had that napkin of players that he thought the Jets should take a look at, the one that made the most sense on there was Devontae Adams.
Yes.
So I just, you could use it as another brick in the wall of your argument that Aaron Rodgers is running the show. That's fine. This would be one where I'd say, okay, this makes sense. This is not bringing in Carmelo Anthony when he's well past his prime just because his name is Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
This is more like, he's got a relationship with Aaron. Aaron's a finicky quarterback when it comes to the relationships with his receivers, and it makes a lot of sense because Devontae Adams can still get it done as a receiver.
I will say, from a Texans standpoint, just to localize this, we'll talk about the Amari Cooper trade in a second here. That one affects the Texans way less because they've played Buffalo already. I would submit that the Texans are a reason why they went and traded for Amari Cooper. That 9-for-30 game that Josh Allen had is probably a driving force behind them making that trade. I will tell you what this Davante Adams trade does, though, Seth, from a Texans standpoint. Boy, it sure makes me interested in how quickly Kamari Lassiter is going to come back. Yeah. I mean, you're thin, as you pointed out when you demanded a trade for a defensive back.
I commanded Nick Caseri to trade for a defensive back.
They're thin back there right now.
They're very, very thin. And even when they're not thin, I mean, you've got a situation right now where you're asking Jalen Petrie to play man at times where it's not the best thing for Jalen Petrie to be playing man versus the better receivers. These last couple weeks, it's not been as big a factor because neither the Bills nor the Patriots have really any good wide receivers on the roster, especially with the Bills not having their number one guy there. So I think just whether it's elevating Dez King for certain situations or bringing in a defensive back right now, I know people keep saying safety, but I think even then they're thinking like hybrid safety / cornerback. I need a guy that can cover man. So yes. I'd rather have a corner, whether it's Newsome or somebody else, like a cornerback than a safety at this point.
Yep. So we'll see, man. Kamari Lassiter, it sounded like it was going to be a multi-week thing. The trade deadline, by the way, is November the 5th. So the Texans, which is it's a Tuesday. So it's Tuesday at 3 o'clock local time here, November the 5th. So the Texans have the game this weekend, the home game against the Colts, and then the Jets game on Halloween night. Before the trade deadline. After that, if they don't do any deals after that, you're on to Detroit and Dallas and the rest of the schedule.
This is a fun October. There's a lot going on between now and the Jets game on Halloween.
Yes.
When things might get really freaky and weird.
Have you been okay with no ALCS championship baseball or even ALDS championship baseball the last couple of
weeks? I've been okay with it, partly because the Texans are 5-1. If the Texans were miserable right now, I'd be, I'd be way more hardcore into preseason NBA than I traditionally
hey,
am.
Hey, man.
I'm pretty hardcore about preseason NBA.
You won't shut up about it off the air. It's unbelievable.
That's when the real players show up. That's when they just lay it all. They leave it all out on the court, damn it.
I am pretty excited about Reed Sheppard. I'm not going to lie. Like, I am super stoked about Reed Sheppard. He was doing Twitter highlight things again last night in that preseason game against the Pelicans. That was
Reed fun. Reed Sheppard would be very, very tempting in comparison to NFL or just like, random ALCS.
Yes. Yeah.
If the Texans were bad.
He is worth watching, man. He is fun to watch, no doubt. All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock. There we go. Yep.
The Yankees, since you want the Yankees to win the World Series.
No. Just the ALCS. I just want them to beat Cleveland.
You want them to be in the ALCS. Okay. It does it partly because you just don't want to deal with the Guardians being an annoying fan base.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is, in that regard, the last time the Guardians really, really had a good shot at the World Series was the first year of the Astros run, where the Guardians were upset by the Yankees. Guardians were the better team that year. The Yankees upset them, and that's when the Astros started their dominance versus the Yankees. So this is another. This will make Cleveland even more miserable.
That's what I mean. You're happy with that if the Yankees win.
I mean,
I'm rooting for Mets over Dodgers, Yankees over Guardians, Mets over Yankees in the World Series. I hate that I'm rooting for the Mets, but this is what we're left with. We're left with teams I don't like. That's it.
I got no hatred in my heart for the Mets.
The only thing I don't like about the Mets is I've seen a lot of these debate shows go, are the Mets a team of destiny? And I'm like, no, they have a $370 million payroll. What are you talking about? Are they a team? They're paying more guys to not play for them than they're paying to play for them right now.
Yeah. It's stupid.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. We have a text message about Dameon Pierce and a particular play on Sunday that I think allows us to show that. Well, it allows us to see if we can speak fluent D'Amico. Was D'Amico happy with this particular player put in this particular role? We'll tell you who it is. We'll hear from the head coach coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.